Well, there's a lot of stories I could tell you. So today, when he was threatening to give me a kiss, I really did not know. I really did not know what to expect there. Amen. I was afraid he was going to grab me by both my ears and plant one right on my forehead or something. I just didn't know. But because, like I said, I've known him for a number of years. And man,
amen.
Praise God, brother.
Amen. Appreciate it.
Oh, Why don't we just worship him together here for a minute? Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I feel the Lord here. I know we sound like we say it a lot, but I really do tonight.
And
I just feel like I can just lay in these altars for an hour and just bask in his presence. I don't know. I just feel like the Lord has been helping me in this service tonight. All the good singing and worshiping the Lord. It's been a blessing to me. It's been a blessing for me to be here. You folks have encouraged me, and I just really sense the Lord wants to do something for us tonight. And let me just say a couple things before I preach. First of all, thank you for the invitation and for the offering. You're such a blessing to us. We appreciate it so much. And I also want to thank, Brother, it's Pastor Appreciation Day for Brother Brim. You know, my kids have come up here to youth camp for, since his little, and it's one of their favorite camps to go to. It's a really blessing to them. They love coming, and you know, I know all the hard work and all the sacrifice and all the giving, all the money, but it's been a blessing to my kids. And you know, I look at church kids and see them grow up in the church, and sometimes we overlook a lot of times maybe the Sunday school teachers and the youth camps, and some of these things have a great influence on their lives and the decisions they make. And so I want to say I really appreciate it. You've been a great blessing to my family. Also, I want you to pray for Brother and Sister Tripp, my wife's parents. Most of you know them. And Brother Tripp has been having a struggle physically. He's going through a great battle, a great storm. But the Lord can calm the storm, can't he? And I know you'll be praying for him. I don't know. I was gonna say, you know, pastoring your families, you can be difficult, I guess. Pastoring your mother-in-law can be difficult. But I think probably sitting in the pew with a son-in-law that's a preacher is difficult also. My mother-in-law is a great person. But you folks know, you know, she being raised in this church, basically. How shy she is, and how she doesn't like to get up front or do anything. And when they first moved down there, I don't know if it's the first or the second year they were there, the birthdays, her birthday, and there's a lady in my church's birthday's on the same day as Catherine's birthday. And then my daughter's birthday, Andrea, is on the same day. So it's three of them, 22nd, is that right? August. August 22nd. And it happened to be on a Sunday. And so, you can imagine Catherine doing this. I got her up in front of the church. I saw that look in her eye when I called her up there. I thought, I'm a dead man. I said, folks, I want to tell you something. These are the three meanest women in the whole county. But she's learned to get used to me. But I want you to pray for them. Also, I wanted to say, I really seriously thought about kissing Brother David up here this morning. But I got to thinking about, you know, the only person I've ever kissed in this church was my wife 28 and a half years ago in front of Brother Gallagher and Brother Collins. And I'd hate to ruin such a good memory. So I passed on that. I'd like you to turn with me to the book of John, chapter number 20. But I want to preach a few minutes, and I trust that the Lord will use a few things that I say to help us in these altars and not quench what I feel in my heart. I just feel the Lord here, And I hope I can be a blessing to you and to your family and to your young people here tonight. John chapter 20 and verse number 19, very familiar to us. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, "Peace be unto you." And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." I want to preach just a couple minutes here tonight on God breathe on us. God breathe on us. Father, I thank you for the promise, the power of the Word of God. And I pray tonight you'd minister to each and every one in this service. God, send the Holy Ghost to quicken us and convict us and challenge us, Lord. And do a divine work in these altars. And we'll give you the praise, the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me tell you, first of all, tonight in this text we have a revelation. That is, the Lord revealed himself to the disciples. You know how that he died, was put upon the cross, and was buried. But now here we have the story where Jesus appears unto the disciples. The first time they've seen him, he has revealed himself unto them. The Bible said they were glad when they saw his hands and his side, because then they recognized this was truly the Lord. He revealed himself to them. Now listen, the Lord wants to reveal himself to us. He does it through his Spirit. He does it by the Word of God, through the preaching of his Word in prayer. God reveals himself to us. And we've got to be in a place and be in a spiritual frame of mind, amen, that when the Lord reveals himself to us, amen, that we're willing to listen and obey and follow. I'll tell you, he wants to encourage your faith tonight and reveal himself to you. Not only do I see a revelation here, I see a commission. For he said, "As the Father has sent me, even so send I you." Can I tell you tonight, the Lord wants to send you just like he did Jesus, to the destitute, to the outcast. He wants to send you to the sinner, to the lost. Friend, the Lord wants to send you out in the highways and byways. I see a great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. Let the Lord use you in this hour. He revealed himself to commission you to go out to the world. I not only see a revelation and a commission, I see an impartation. It's interesting to me that the Bible said the Lord breathed on them. Now friend, listen. Amen. Some people believe different than I do about this. I do not believe that with the Lord here, amen, though that when he was on earth, as one man said, he inhaled the atmosphere of Israel. He drank the pure air of the Galilean hills. He relied on the support of his own natural life and normal process of respiration. But after his resurrection, that was no longer so. Then the text tells us the risen Redeemer breathed on his disciples. This was no symbolic or prophetic gesture. Christ was imparting his Spirit upon them. Brother, he wasn't breathing Galilean air on them. He was breathing the breath of God. I'll tell you what we need today. We need God to breathe on us. If we're going to reach the world, if we're going to touch lost souls, oh God, breathe on us. One man said this. He said, "If we had Michelangelo's spirit, we could paint like Michelangelo. If we had Shakespeare's spirit, we could write like Shakespeare. If we had Beethoven's spirit, we could compose like Beethoven." But I'll tell you what, friend, if we have Christ's spirit, we ought to be able to do the works of Christ. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to breathe on us that we could go forth and do his works, touching the lives of people. Oh God, breathe on us with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you what, if we have Christ's spirit, then we ought to be able to live like him. I mean, if I had Beethoven's spirit, I could compose like him. Well, if I have Christ's spirit, I ought to be able to do the works of Christ. how to be able to live like him, how to be able to preach like him, how to be able to witness like him. I mean, and I know, brother, this is, I'm trying not to try to make this, you know, too earthly here, because we know Jesus was the Son of God. But friend, his point and his idea was he could breathe on them, that they could go out and do what he done, and minister to people like he ministered. Amen. He told the disciples, amen, greater works. Amen. You're going to do greater works than I have done. Oh, God, breathe on us in this hour. I thank God for the lot of skills we have, a lot of talents we have, a lot of programs we have. But we need the breath of God. We need God to fill us up today. Amen. God, breathe on us. I want to tell you about three specific functions that physical breath has. And not going to preach long. First of all, breath vitalizes. That is, breath gives life. Did you know during every 24-hour period in a human being's breath, a human being breathes roughly 23,040 times? In the inhaling process, some 438 cubic feet of air. Did you know failing to continue to do this process, and just for a few minutes, it can bring death? Brother, I'll tell you what, life, our breath, the breath we breathe, amen, the breath that is given to us, it gives life, it vitalizes. Amen. If you're a paramedic or work in the hospital, there's sometimes people, amen, go unconscious and they die. And what do? They put, they breathe in them. Amen. They try to fill their lungs up with new life. That's why we need the power of the Holy Ghost. It gives life to the church. It gives life to our witness. It gives life to our preaching. We need to be vitalized. Amen. I read one time several years ago where Ian McPherson, a famous preacher, he told about how there was a lady in his church that had a lung disease. And he told how that even interesting to him, that here is this woman perfect air around her. I mean, amen, no smog-filled air. Everything about the air was pure. Everything about the air was okay. But her lungs refused to function. And even though there was air everywhere in the countryside, she could not breathe. And I thought, you know, it kind of reminds me of the church. I mean, here we go. We've got the breath of God all around us, and yet we're dying. We have the presence of God everywhere, and we're falling out by the wayside. We need God to bring revival and visit us. I'm telling you, church, it'll vitalize. The Bible tells us that God breathed into Adam. Here was a man, amen, perfect. His eyes were perfect. Amen. His legs were perfect. His hands were perfect. He had perfect heart, perfect lungs, a perfect spleen, a perfect liver. But he had no life in him. And the Bible said that God breathed into Adam and made him a living soul. Now listen to me. Oh, church, this is something that's important to us. I know we believe in salvation by the blood. We preach it. We believe folks need to be saved. But if we're not careful, we'll die in the pew. Amen. We'll sit there and let our experience die. We need the Holy Ghost. We need the breath of God. God, breathe on us. Amen. Breath vitalizes. That is, it gives life. Can I tell you also that breath sterilizes? In 1628, William Harvey, the court physician of King Charles I, made what he called the greatest of all discoveries, and that was the circulation of the blood.
He discovered that in the human, the average size human body contains 13 to 14 pints of blood. And Harvey found out that as long as life lasts, the vital fluid is continually moving from the heart and pumped in a rhythmic action through 60,000 miles of blood vessels, then returns to the heart again. So he discovered that the blood leaves the heart, 60,000 miles of blood vessels through the body before it returns back to the heart again. And when it returns back, before it gets back to the heart, amen, it is purified by the oxygen of the lungs. It goes through the lungs, and the lungs, amen, purifies that blood. Because you know what happens? Your blood will pick up bad things. It'll pick up contaminants. And amen, then it'll go back through, and the oxygen that's in the lungs purifies that blood again. Can I tell you, church, we need the Holy Ghost not only to vitalize us, but to sterilize us. There's sometimes out in the world that after we've been saved, we pick up bad habits. Amen. We pick up things that are contaminating, that are destructive. And we need the Holy Ghost to sterilize us and cleanse us. Amen. Now I'll tell you something. We witnessed, and I know as my kids were growing up in church, they'd sometimes have problems. You'll be in a pastor's home. You see people that sometimes go to church and sing and shout, but don't always live right. Now don't let it shock you, but it does happen. And they'd question about it. You know, why is this? And of course, you know, as pastors, we cover for the people. That's a nice way of saying we sometimes lie about it. We say, well, you know, they're pretty good people. They're just having struggles right now. And actually, they're backslid. And what about brother so-and-so? Well, you know, he's going through a tough time, and we're praying for him. We're going to try to help him. But really, you know, the old boy is just out in sin. He's backslid. He still comes to church. But we don't want to say that. I'm going to tell you what happens to people. They get saved, they get genuinely saved. And some of them start out on a good race and do good. But as they go out in the world, and as they're working their jobs, as they're doing things, and the influences of the world around them begins to affect them. And you know what? Instead of being sterilized by the Holy Ghost, instead of the Spirit of God dealing with me, their experience is dead. And what happens? Those contaminations disease the body. Those contaminations destroy the effect of God working in their life. Before long, they're still coming to church, but they're backslid. Their hearts are hard. They've got to the place where they can't worship God. I say, God, bring revival. I send the Holy Ghost. We need a move of God. It sterilizes. My wife does not like me to do dishes. Now, I'll tell you, all you young couples are just starting out in marriage. I'm going to tell you, young men, a way to get out of doing dishes. When she asks you to do the dishes, I'm going to tell you what you do. You do the dishes good, but one plate, I mean, leave a little bit of egg yolk on there, little jelly, and stick it back up in the cupboard. When she finds that, she'll say, don't you do them dishes no more. Can I tell you how to get out of doing the laundry? Take one of her good white blouses and throw it in with them blue jeans. I sound evil up here, don't I? Listen, I'll tell you something. When my wife leaves to go to youth camp up here or go to ladies' retreat, she tells me two things. Don't do the dishes and leave the laundry alone. Hey, okay with me. I'm fine with that. We was on vacation one morning. Of course, I always get up before everybody, and I was up early that morning, and there were some dishes still in there. We was in a little cabin, had a couple bedrooms in it, and there were some dishes still in the from the night before. There's still some dishes in the sink, and so I just washed them up, you know, and put them up, and
I think I left, went fishing for a few hours and came back, and about that time people were up and getting around. I noticed my wife, she's over there washing the dishes. I said, "What are you doing?" "I washed the dishes." She said, "You didn't wash them either. They're still dirty." Can I tell you something? You may feel like you're looking at your own life. You may say, "Well, I'm pretty clean. Hey, man, I got everything figured out. I'm doing good. Boy, I'm doing a lot better than the church down the road. I'm doing a lot better than my cousins are doing. And I'm really doing pretty good." But friend, hey, man, God may look at it a little bit different. And he may see some things in your life he's putting his finger on. He's trying to touch you. We need a sterilization where God cleans us up. Amen. Breath, it vitalizes and it sterilizes. One more thing. Breath vocalizes. Without breath, utterance is impossible. You may have a perfect voice box and a perfect trachea and perfect vocal cords, but if you have no breath, there is no sound, no utterance. Now, if we want to get the message to the lost world, we need to be able to vocalize the message. And friend, it cannot be done without the breath of God. We got to have it. Now, I'll tell you something. I know we're living in a day where there's a lot of church groups and organizations claiming that they are reaching the masses and that they're coming in and that they're filling them up. But friend, not to be too critical here, and I'm not against what God is doing in other places. I'm not out here to criticize the Lord saving and helping people. But let me tell you something. Amen. A lot of those people are just coming to be entertained. They're just, and their lives are not changed. There's really no gospel, true gospel being preached, and there's no repentance. There's no really change of life. You know, it's one thing to get up a band, to get a crowd in. It's one thing to get up some Christian comedian and get the crowd in. But friend, it's quite another thing to have people repent of their sins by the gospel. And friend, that does not come by a five-piece band. And that does not come by a Christian comedian. It comes by the breath of God. And I know your desire is for your family to get genuinely saved. I know your desire is for your community to give their heart and life to God. Well, let's get the message to them. Let's vocalize. We need the moving of the Holy Ghost. We need God to breathe on us. Hallelujah. Several years ago, I was at the bank. I was going through the drive-thru, and I've banked at the same bank 22 years in a small town. I know everybody, and of course, they have different employees through the years, and some have been there 22 years, but a lot of the tellers, you know, 4 or 5 years, they move on, and this one particular lady didn't work there anymore, but she'd been there about 5 or 6 years, and I can't recall her name, but then I knew her name, I knew her husband, and they attended the Assembly of God Church, and I talked to her before, and I went through the drive-thru to make a deposit or something, and I was just chatting, you know, and I said something, "Well, how's your husband doing?" And I seen the tears start swelling up in her eyes, you know, and she said, "Well," she said, "he got upset at church. He's quit church. He's not going to church at all." And I could tell it was a heavy burden to him. And I'll tell you what, this doesn't happen to me all the time, but I just felt the Holy Ghost. I mean, I just felt the Lord. I said, "Listen," I said, "you know," I just kind of preached her a little sermon, tried to encourage her. I said, "Listen, there's nothing impossible with God, and God can turn this thing around." And I said, "You know, amen, the Lord cares about you. He cares about your husband. He cares about your family. You know, just right. I mean, I just felt the Lord." Now, I know that's a little odd right there in the drive-thru and hey man, with a teller, but I'll tell you folks, we got to vocalize it. We got to get the message out. We got to let folks know God can help them and God can touch them. He can do it today. I'm going to close with this. My nephew, Sean. Does anybody know Sean Cox? Does anybody know he's quite a character? Sean's a good boy. In fact, he's, you know, when he was young, I thought he would probably end up in prison before he was 18. A few times I thought he'd end up in the graveyard and I was going to put him there. But Sean's a good boy. He's got a good family. And, you know, Steve, He's a good friend of mine. You know, my brother-in-law, Steve, Sean's dad. He's a super guy, hard worker, faithful to God, faithful to church. I mean, I just love him. And Sean, before he was, I think he was married, but they didn't have children then, but they were both, when they right after they married, both of them, well, maybe before they were married, they were both working at a factory, and Sean still works there, but they work in midnights at this factory. And we'd had a special service, like a lot of churches do, was having a friendship day or something, and, you know, we were pushing it and trying to get people to come and encouraging the folks, invite their neighbors and their friends and come to church. And we were going to do a little bit different that Sunday morning. Instead of having Sunday school, we decided we was going to have a lot of choir singing, just do things a little bit different and kind of try to just appeal to lost people. And I had a few folks testify and different things. Then I preached not very long, preached to them that morning. Well, I come to find out that morning when they came in, Sean and Davina had brought about 10 people from work. I'm talking about sinners. Here they come in. One of them came in. He was dressed in all black. He was a gothic. Or is that what you call him, a goth? Or what do you call him? Is that right? Okay. And Davina told me, she said, you know, she said, I told him at work that we want him to come to church with us. And he said, well, he said, you know, I don't drive. And I don't know, maybe he lost his license or something. And she said, well, we'll come and get you. He said, well, he said, I guess I could go. So she said that morning, she went up, she knocked on the door, nobody answered the door. So she kept on knocking. Nobody answered the door, kept on. Finally, he came in, he's still in bed. She said, get your clothes on, you're going to church. You said you was going to go. I wish you'd do that to some of my church members. I'd pay her to do it, I'll tell you. Here he came in, man. Boy, that morning I had a great time. I got to preach the whole row of folks that hadn't been in church. One of them, I mean, all dressed in full, I mean in black. We had a great time. Listen, friend, if we're going to reach people, we got to vocalize it. And that doesn't come by your ability to speak. It comes by the Holy Ghost. God moving on you. God breathing through you. Listen, there are people out there you can reach, but you need help. You need life. You need the Holy Ghost. Let's stand together tonight, could we? Amen. Come on. The heads bowed, eyes closed. I want to ask you tonight, you'd say, Brother Mark, I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. I'd just like a refilling tonight. You'd lift your hand up. Brother Mark, I'd like God, and I'm in that number here tonight. I want the Holy Ghost. I want His presence tonight. Maybe you're here and you say, Brother Mark, I want the baptism. I've never had the baptism. I want it tonight. Friend, God can help you. Let's pray right now that God will do that in these altars. Father, in Jesus' name, the church is agreeing together. God, to fill these young people, baptize moms and dads, touch people with the power and presence of the Holy Ghost. Oh, Lord, we're believing you to do it tonight. Move in a mighty way in this altar. Hallelujah. Let's come gather around. Would you come tonight? You raise your hand. You say, Lord, I need a touch. God, I need the Holy Ghost. God, I need the blessings of the Lord. Would you come? Oh, let's pray, church. Let's call on the Lord. Lord, I need the presence of God.
Let it fall on me. Hallelujah. Holy anointing. let it rain.